you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of us doing this broadcast, getting together, connecting. You guys are awesome to tune us in, and we're just thrilled about that. Still with me is Kevin. He's still down in Florida, still living the good life. You know, Florida in March is the place to be, Kevin.
Yeah, it was yesterday. I got up and had to go somewhere. Actually went to church in the big scope of where, what day this is. When I went to church, it was perfect Florida weather. You know, Florida gets real hot and humid, and some places get pretty awful cold, but this was just one of those, slight breeze, about 70 degrees, 68 degrees. Yeah. I just walked in chatting with people and was able to try to be a help.
Well, praise God. That's what it's all about. And today we're going to talk about love. You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, and you shake it all about. Sometimes my mind, I think it was the marijuana when I was younger. People can say whatever they want, but sometimes it goes backwards. But folks, here we are. We're cranking along. When we talk about love, we've seen so much love in the book of John. We know before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. Do you love me, Peter? Do you really love me? I read this strangest Bible commentary the other day, where back in the old times, Jewish people believed if you were a Christian, you couldn't lie three times. And you could only lie twice. So if you were a Christian, they would ask you a question. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? And they'd ask it three times because they believed even a Christian, which was said by one of their rabbis, can't lie three times in a row. They have some moral fiber. Isn't that a terrible thing? So we're talking about love today. That's the first time I had ever saw that. I was reading a commentary and I said, man, that's firing me up.
What if they took that from Peter's three lies in a row?
They did. I don't know. That's what they were talking about. That's what I was reading. Yeah. I was reading about Simon Peter and watching The Chosen. And I'm telling you, folks, watch The Chosen. It's so much better than watching some of these TV shows and seeing things about God. So the world's longest kiss. Now, I'm not saying a kiss has anything to do with love, but I was impressed by this when I looked up the word love. Two West German students, 116, 119. This boy was in high school too long. He was 19. The girl was 16. And are you ready for this? They kissed for 105 minutes and 48 seconds, beating a world record by a British couple by a full 2 minutes. Wow. That's some pretty crazy stuff. They stopped kissing because they both passed out within 5 seconds of each other. Truth will be told, they didn't even like each other after that. They never went on a date or talked to each other again. So the moral of that story is love matters more than kissing. I think it's a pretty important thing. But one of the things, so I grew up in Connecticut. You guys know that when you talk about New England, you're talking about really the states. It's not New York. Everybody thinks it's New York, but it's not. It's Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. It's six states. But right there where Connecticut hits Massachusetts and Rhode Island is an area situate in the Coast Guard vessels go by, and many lonely sailors have got up in the Coast Guard, have got up on the deck, and when they go by Minot's Light off Scituate, Massachusetts, the signal that they would always send to the military ships coming in was a nautical code that said, I love you. Several years ago, the governor of Massachusetts said, no more. We're not wasting the state's money telling these sailors we love them. It's nothing but serious. And they said, you can no longer get this message. The people of Scituate and the people in the Coast Guard went crazy. And the old equipment was set back up until this day as Navy vessels and Coast Guard vessels go by Minot's Light off Scituate, Massachusetts. The local lighthouse people flash the symbol for I love you. And boy, God flashes that symbol all the time in our life, doesn't he? Let all things be done with charity or love. I love that verse in 1 Corinthians 16. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envy not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. So love, it suffers. It puts up with it. Love envies not. You know, you put others before yourself. You put others. We've been talking about that, being identifying with Christ, being different. Isn't that what love is all about? Beareth all things, the Bible says, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. In that great 1 Corinthians 13, the book of love, charity never faileth. Love never faileth, friends, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Some people aren't going to like to hear that. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Oh, dear friends, choose love. You don't have to kiss for 100-something minutes and pass out. But Kevin, love wins out.
Yeah, you reminded me as I'm working, you mentioned charity and what real love is. It's not just kissing. You know, going for world records is not a good foundation for continuing marriage. Not that it's wrong, but or continuing love. I heard of people that had a diet going on called Fit for Life diet. We used to do it for a while back in about 2000, year 2000. They got the two people that came up with it had gotten married surrounding the diet. That was what their relationship was based on. And they got married in the fruit vegetable aisle of a grocery store. Unfortunately, it did not keep them from abusing one another, and they finally got divorced. But love has to go beyond just a few things that you just really feel good about together. You mentioned charity. Charity means unconditional love, Christ-like love. I love expecting nothing in return, but really wanting something in return. And so that's the love of God. I mean, hello, he wants to be loved in return. It's a big deal to him. But he is good to the righteous and the unrighteous. He is also in favor of our success, even on an earthly level, like in business. He gives us the ability to get wealth. All those things come from the love of God. I'm writing, Doug, the book that you had mentioned, and you planted the seed and you said you ought to do this, write a book on growing in through trauma, kind of like after you get saved, you need to grow. And trauma will oftentimes lead a person to trust Christ as Savior, but then they don't grow much beyond that because they keep looking in the rearview mirror. And this book, I'm using a template, an analogy, but also in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says what to add in your Christian growth. And you start with faith, that's salvation. And then it goes through seven things: add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, but that's not enough. And to brotherly kindness, charity, that's the last thing. So, you know, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's the best that we can do, honestly. It's not like we've arrived, but when that's really showing in every aspect of life, that love, that selfless love, that's the goal. That's the end game. That's God's end game. That's my end game. It's supposed to be. Yeah. And you say, well, I'm kind to one another. Okay, but do you have brotherly, do you have charity? Are you willing to forgive someone that hurt you if that might allow them to get right with God? That's the goal. And I really am challenged to be, Doug, more and more that way when I think about Jesus Christ. We've been studying the life of Christ, and in this Olivet discourse, you know, you just look at how Jesus says, do it this way, and then he went and died to show us he's serious about it. So, yeah, let's take the challenge seriously.
You know, I was just sitting here when you were talking about love. Love's so important. It really, it's a guiding principle, you know, because God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a pretty big thing to do. So when you love, you give. When you love, you forgive. When you love, you have charity, like you're saying, charity and love. What a wonderful word for charity, love. What a wonderful word for love, charity. You know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And folks, we talked about that the other day, that, you know, you hold a handshake a little longer, you hold eye contact a little longer, you go out of your way like to that nurse. Well, what did you mean by that? What took 6 years? Tell me about that. And I mean, it just makes a difference when you listen to people. You just listen. And, you know, those songs, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Amazing Grace, Be Thou My Vision. Oh, just the songs that God gives us in his hymn books. And I know, I do know that they're not inspired. But this weekend, you know, Pastor was talking about Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And a lady met a, and boy, it was my phone that got me this time. And I had that thing shut off. So I am totally shutting this thing off this time. Sorry about that, folks. But this lady met the actual person who wrote the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And she was talking with him. They were riding in a stagecoach together. And the man asked her, how do you stay positive? What do you do? And she just happened to be opening a hymn book, reading through the hymns. And she showed this man his song. Can you imagine the amazement that must have went with that? Showing him this song, Come Thou Fount Now, Every Blessing. Folks, let the radio stations do what they got to do. And I'm going to tell you about the end of that conversation. Hang right with us.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So this lady, here she, can you imagine that? That's how God works. You know, as he puts people in your life once in a while, and they're people you know, you didn't know that they were there. And anyway, this lady says, well, I read hymns. I do things like that. And so he said, well, what do you do? And how do you keep your heart right? And she said, well, I go to the last verses of your song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to lead the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. You know, sometimes, folks, we just got to go back to God. Got to go back and recheck in on that love. It's just like a marriage or a family or whatever the case may be. Sometimes you just got to go back. You just got to go back and you got to do the things that work out, that make you feel good, and that bring things close together. Here we are. We continue on for the last time with a verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew, where we'll come back to Matthew looking at miracles, but we're in Matthew, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 25, starting in verse number 41 through 46. Then shall he say unto them at the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and athirst, and a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, or did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Turn things around, a double negative. And these shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So he's drawing this correlation. If you're saved, you care about these people. And remember, what you do says everything about how much you love the Lord. The actions you take show the love that you had, the actions you take. So he's comparing things to eternal consequences here. And he's talking about, you know, if you're saved, you're different. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're different. You can't neglect the needy. You can't love without giving. You could give without loving, but there's no way to love without giving. It just doesn't work. It never works. And so he went on to talk about the righteous and the unrighteous, and he draws this correlation, Kevin, and he says, you know, the righteous get this right. And but what you do unto the least of these, you're doing unto me. Then he says, that was yesterday. And then he says, today, what you do not do unto the least of these is what you do not do unto me. So here he is, Kevin. He's being pretty clear with us here. And he's saying, listen, you got a choice. But when you're saved, this is what you look like. So ask yourself, friends, ask yourself, am I meeting the needs of people around me? Am I making a difference? Am I serving Christ?
Yeah. In this passage of scripture, you know, Doug, again, and that's such a true thing because this is, Jesus is finishing this discourse, this lecture, as it were. You know, there's a Sermon on the Mount, and then they call this the discourse, which is an answer to a question, two questions. What shall be the sign of thy coming, and when shall be the end? When shall these things be, meaning the destruction of Jerusalem? And the destruction of Jerusalem is twofold, and so is a twofold answer. And there's 2,000 years between the two destructions. There was the 70 AD destruction, then there's the destruction of the temple and the abomination of desolation in the end of the tribulation period. So we're talking about maybe 2,000 years plus that are going to occur in between. And but anyway, without trying to get into the numbers of it all, what we're seeing here is the end of the whole discourse. And he's saying, you know what, when it's all said and done, at the end of this church age, then the end of the tribulation period, before we go into the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, it's what's gonna be looked at as a litmus test and a criteria of placement here is going to be how you did it to the least of these, my brother. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole sheep and goats judgment again, but I will say this. It's a big thing to Jesus Christ, what our heart is like and what our heart is doing. And the litmus test is what's going on with people that are less fortunate with you? What's going on with kids? If you don't do right by kids because they're helpless and they're little and they can't fight back and they can't shoot you back and they can't knife you back and you traffic them, it's better that you have a millstone tied around your neck. Yeah. It's better that you have a one-ton rock around your neck, tossed into 7 mile deep Marianas Trench down into the Challenger Deep, and have a fast drop there. This is big time stuff. This is why Jesus ended the whole thing. This is the end of it. And, you know, Doug, I got to be honest. There's been some times in my life where I was just all worked and wrapped tight. There's no excuse, but, you know, there's sensory overload of raising 7 kids. Sometimes it just gets a little bit much. And I can think of times where I was hurting. I had ear stuff going on, earache going on, and my kids came up and they decided to play a joke on Dad with a good heart. And one yelled in one ear and one yelled in the other ear while I'm sitting up there in the driver's seat of my rig. I wasn't driving. I was just sitting up there. I think I have my computer on the driver's on the steering wheel, but when they did that, I just yelled at them. Now, everyone that's listening is like, yeah, I can understand that, you know. But you know when you go through a period where you're just not feeling like you want good for other people, and it's cruel. The Bible talks about a merciful man does good to his own soul. It did me no good to withhold mercy, because there's times where I was upset at people so much, I just thought, well, good on you, man. It serves you right. But the Bible says, he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. So it does you no good. And the Bible talks about if you are cruel to your household, I wish I could think of the verse, but it says troubleth his own house. So it's troubling your own, troubles your own flesh. If I can put the two verses together, it's similar verbiage here. And I'll be honest with you that those time periods when I went through, thank God they were brief, but I'll be honest with you, they hurt some people. I mean, just like wounded a few spirits, and I had to go back with them back to those times. I don't know what was on my mind, but that was wrong in Jesus' eyes, and I am sorry. And I'm talking about, I got convicted. I fell under deep, deep conviction by these verses, and God wouldn't let me rest. And I could tell that it was standing in the way of my kids and me. And man, I don't want to be cruel. On conversely, I want to be like Jesus talked about, you know, treat people like you treat Jesus, because Jesus is saying, that's how you're treating me. Don't tell the world how much you love me. Show it in the way you're treating other people that you cannot get any good back from, because that's what Jesus is in our life until we stand before him.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And you know, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all stood at that gate of guilt where we said, boy, we tanked that one. And, you know, most important thing to do is stand up there and say, no more. I'm just, forgive me. Yeah, I did this wrong. I messed up. I won't do it again. But I'm just a human being. I'm just a mere mortal, and I'm a knucklehead. And I had to say that to my kids more than once. And so is all of you, more than once a day, probably. But hey, listen, folks, I'll tell you, we're moving on. Now, tomorrow we begin Sign Miracles. You don't want to miss this. We're going to be talking about unclean man and how that pertains to us today, practically. And we sure do love you. We thank you again for giving us the opportunity to come on and talk with you guys and let this work in a life. So smile a little longer today. Make eye contact a little longer. Shake hands a little tighter. But most of all, love people, because your Lord loves you. And we sure love you guys. God bless. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.